This podcast is part of the Gonna Geek Network. The opinion expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gonna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GonnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
And your reporters for this 15th episode of the third season of Arrow, titled Nanda Parbat. I am SP, and with me is Chris.
I even got Rory a Boba Fett for Christmas.
And Jay.
My friends call me Dig. You shouldn't even speak to me.
This whole situation has gone from endearingly eccentric to creepily not okay. This podcast is recorded on Saturday, February 28th, 2015. We're just a few guys that discuss the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I am not a comic expert. I'm actually a sci-fi guy, but I'm learning a lot thanks to folks like Jay, who is a comic fan and enthusiast.
I try.
And Chris, who we consider our resident comic geek for the night.
I read too many comics, guys. I have a problem. I need to go to rehabilitation.
I'm envious. I don't think that's a problem. I'm envious. I wish I had more time to do that. And just a reminder to everybody else, you can catch up on all our shows in the back catalog by going to our webpage on the GunnaGeekNetwork.com website, and you can also catch us on our Twitter account, at Starling Tribune. So this week, of course, as I stated before, we're talking about the 15th episode, Nanda Parbat, of the third season. It was directed by Gregory Smith, who I looked him up, and he's mostly inexperienced. He did a few episodes in a series called Rookie Blue, whatever that is. I have no idea. And it was written by a combination of the Arrow producers of Wendy Marisol,
or maybe? I don't know.
I'm Miracle? Not sure. I'm Miracle. So sorry.
Miracle.
Miracle.
Miracle. It's a miracle. We got this.
And Eric Olson. But it was also probably written by Ben
Sokolowski. Good luck with this one.
Yeah.
Sokolowski.
What's that, Chris?
Sokolowski.
Sokolowski.
I don't know.
He's kind of new if you take a look at his IMDb writing credits, but he's done a lot of the writing this season on Arrow. So I have to tip my hat to him, because as we were talking about a couple weeks ago, there is a lot of natural progression going on with characters actually reacting how they would react in real life. So I think these guys have been doing a great job. Just wanted to point out what they're doing behind the scenes.
And what they're typically doing is looking at an episode of Batman the Animated Series and saying, let's do this, but with Oliver. But we'll get to that later.
Well, Paul Dini probably could teach us a lot about writing.
True.
I would follow him.
And who's Paul Dini?
He's the writer for most of Batman the Animated Series.
Ah, there you go.
He's like my own personal Jesus, man. No, in all seriousness, though, if you ever get the chance, go listen to a Kevin Smith's podcast, Batman on Batman. Any episode he has Paul Dini on is gold.
Sweet. I'm jealous. So how'd you guys like this episode this week?
I thought it was good. It was entertaining. It's not one of the absolute high points, I think. But, I mean, the twist at the end, I don't even want to call it a twist, but the surprise at the end, you know, you could see coming from a mile away if you knew anything about Ra's al Ghul's character. Yeah, and it wasn't the mind-blowing experience that the producers had hyped it to be.
If you didn't know anything about the comics, though, it was kind of a surprise to me. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't think it couldn't have happened. It just wasn't prevalent in my mind as the episode was going on. And it was misdirected, actually, several times in there. I mean, Nyssa was used as a pawn in it to get Oliver there, you got to admit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it was so much that was the plan from the beginning, was to get Oliver there. I think it was just, you know, serendipitous. It's like, well, it worked out this way, so hey, why not offer you the job? Yeah.
I think there was going to be more of an approach to it, more of a game for him to pull him in. But since Oliver was there, he's like, hey,
yeah,
now we'll fire this shot at you.
So I've been around at least since 1854. I've killed the guy. He's come back to life. He's killed half my guys that are guarding my fortress. Yeah, why not? I mean, is this a case of keep your friends close and your enemies closer?
No, I think it's just one of the most sadistic job interviews I've ever seen. But
yeah, I've almost killed you, but since you're still alive, I think you've proven you might be able to handle this.
Yeah.
Almost? He did kill. And Oliver talked about the fall. I can't let the fall go. It's the fall, and we're all like, no, it's not really the fall. It's the splat at the end.
Yeah, physics says that should be what does you in. I kind of like the fact that they clued in the fact that Oliver's trying to get that out of his head, and he's kind of little ass-whipped over the fact that Roz just toyed with him and killed him.
Yeah.
He wants his... Part of it is he wants to save Thea. That's why he's there. But the part that he won't admit even to himself until he really has no choice is that his pride's hurt a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, Diggle does a great job of explaining that to him, too. Is, you know, a lot of soldiers go through that as well. You know, if you don't think that you're going to come home, then you're not going to go out on the battlefield in the first place. You know, you have to have that, you know, that certainty of I'm the best there is out there. I'm invincible. I'm going to be the one to make it home. Otherwise, you're going to freeze up and you're not going to be of any use. And that's what Oliver's facing now is, you know, before he was the big dog on campus. He knew what he was doing. And he knew that nothing that anybody could throw at him could shake him. And then here, this guy proves that he's not as amazing as he thought. And now he's got that question is like, well, maybe this guy is better than I am too, you know? So he's got that doubt nagging at him now.
Well, and I think that Diggle realized that was part of the problem early on.
Diggle knew that before
this episode.
Yeah, I was going to say Diggle knew it before they ever left for Nandabarbat.
See, is that what it was? Because I thought it was just all about Diggle going through hell and high water just to get a best man.
That's just an additional perk.
I see. Yeah, we've talked a lot about Diggle not making it through the season, not making it through an episode. This is just setting up for a bad season finale, as far as Diggle's concerned, anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, from about the halfway point, I was sitting here watching it with my kid, and I looked over at him at one point, and I'm like, oh, no, Diggle's going to die. And I mean,
it's too soon for it is all I could think, but I think by the end of the season, he's in trouble.
I mean, they were laying it on really thick, like, you know, with him, you know, having the moment with his family that we haven't seen in, like, you know, 8 weeks, and you know, talking about how, you know, his dedication to his family and all this, that, and the other. And you know, everything pointed towards that, you know, like, hey, look, we're focusing on this so that it destroys you even more when he dies. And I was honestly surprised that he didn't bite it before the end.
Well, and especially when he goes to talk to Roz and he's like, look, save John Diggle. You can kill me. I was like, okay, Diggle's done. You just exposed your weakness to arguably one of the most sadistic men alive.
Yeah, I'm just laughing because I'm just remembering Malcolm's time in front of him. It's like, oh, please don't kill me, please don't kill me.
Malcolm was terrified of him.
Yeah, how interesting was that? I mean, Malcolm, who normally seems so self-assured and in control of everything, just acting like a weepy child.
Oh, yeah, I mean, completely destroyed him. He was like, look, I was your horseman. I can do it again. Give me another chance. Like, begging for the possibility to serve him again. I was like, this is completely different.
And Roz is just like, get it together, man. Face it with a little dignity.
Yeah.
It's a little funny. Yeah, we've talked about the redemption arc possibility from Malcolm before, and I had a difficult time seeing it. I still do. And if he's killed by Roz, you know, that's one thing. There's John Barrowman is just too much of a great commodity for them to let go, so I don't think it's going to happen. But I just don't see him being redeemed. And at least not yet. And this whole scene with Roz, it just cements it in my mind. It's like he has no identity other than personal survival. He even throws his own daughter under the bus, which, you know, this is the whole reason that they're there to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we see him get chained up, which anyone that's followed John Barrowman knows that that's a typical thing. I just threw something in the Skype chat here. But, you know, this is a familiar view for John Barrowman.
Yeah, he's been here before, that's for sure.
But it was like when he walks in and you see him like chained up with his feet, like bare feet over the coals, you're just like, that is torturous on a whole different level. Like, that man, that is rough.
But it is.
You could say he deserves it, though, from an extent. Yeah. I mean, this is the only way you're getting justice for Sarah because he's manipulated so much is Roz gets to torture him for a few hours. That's the only justice we've gotten.
I'm not saying that it was a bad thing for Malcolm to go through. It was just, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that is horrible. Not that he didn't deserve it, but I would hate to be in that position. That's basically what it boiled down to.
Oh, yeah. I get that.
Totally. And Thea, for her part in the murder of Sarah, she is just coming to terms with it this episode. I mean, she just found out last episode. She dealt with it pretty well, all things considered. She's dealt with a lot of stuff well. Coming from the sniveling little daughter who was like, save me, daddy, at the end of last season, which I was like, what are you doing, Thea? To now, she's like, oh, I see the big picture now. And she is really struggling with this fact that she killed Sarah, and she is just amending to, you know, saying she's sorry to everyone. It's gets a little bit annoying, but hey, if you've done something that bad and there's no way else to atone for it and you weren't under control, but it was your body, and there's a video of you killing somebody that you would consider your friend. I mean, she's dealing with it, and they're reaching out to try to help her, but man. It's tough.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, she kind of throws herself at Nyssa at the end. I'm the one that did this, and we know Nyssa's not going to kill her, but she walks in there with the expectation of probably getting killed by arguably one of the world's best assassins.
How do you know she's not going to kill her?
Yeah, that was the thing. I was like, you know, they're playing this up like Diggle's going to be the one to die. What if Diggle survives and they actually kill off Thea? Like, how messed up would that be?
It would.
Yeah, it would. Sorry, I was pausing to think, but I just don't see... They've made so much of a buildup of it's all about saving Thea. It seems kind of obvious they'd kill her, too.
I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but it's one of those things that I never really considered. And I was like, and that could really shake things up quite a bit.
Yeah, that's true.
We had a lot of action in this episode, a lot more than we have had in other episodes. I mean, not the most, but... the season, but there was a lot. You had the training scene at the beginning with the three of them. The choreography that went into that between Malcolm, Thea, and Oliver must have been outstanding. It was a short scene, but still was pretty cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
And then you had the battle in the alleyway between Canary and Malcolm, and then the League coming in.
That wasn't a battle. That was just Malcolm stepping out of the way three or four times and watching Laurel faceplant.
Malcolm just schooled her. I mean, yes, I know I'm the hater of Laurel. Just kind of shows she's not really that big of a threat yet. And maybe this is the impetus she needs to go and train more, is to realize that, holy crap, Malcolm just schooled me. He didn't even have to throw a punch.
Mm-hmm. Well, she did have that awe moment with Thea, like, ooh, you're trained very well. How fast did you pick that up? You're really good. You know, at the beginning.
So what, Thea's going to train Laurel?
I don't know. I think she wants to be trained, though. So I don't know who's going to train. Maybe Nyssa comes in and trains her.
I don't know. I was taking that more as like, she's like, wow, you're really trained. That's apparently, if you can get this good in 6 months, then maybe I have a chance to beat the guy that you know.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly not going to be Ollie training her because she's not happy with him. What was her line? I can't believe I loved you once or something like that.
Yeah, I know the shippers really hated that one.
And at least she was saying it, not Felicity. Then the internet would have melted down.
Well, Felicity basically said it with her actions.
That's true, too. She banged Iron Man. I mean, Adam.
Yeah. I mean, Superman. I mean,
here, let me go get 5 hours of sleep, take a shower, dang it, since you haven't done it in a week, and then I'll give you the password, which is, by the way, password.
Password.
Which, you know, it's kind of funny on the surface of things, but... Mm-hmm. Think of everything that's in that directory related to this Iron Man suit. I mean, Adam suit. And then you think of the hackers out there that are going against corporations, and the password is password.
She probably, I mean, it's Felicity. She probably had it set up to where that password only worked from his personal station and the rest of the network was sealed off or something. I don't see Felicity pulling something stupid like that.
Well, I think part of it is she knows at that point he's just literally too brain exhausted to even think about the simplest of things. So you can put something easy on there.
I think that was the joke, yeah.
He's fried.
Mm-hmm.
He almost blows up the building by accident.
Don't do that. Stop. Don't do it. Well, yeah, I knew you were going to say that, but like, no, seriously, just stop. It reminded me a little bit of Agent Carter when... Howard Stark comes in and he's like, I can't believe you've got all this stuff here. This needs to be cool. This has to be upside down.
This is photosensitive.
You know. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So it reminded me a little bit of that. But yeah, Ray he's toasted, and you can tell he is. If I watched it twice, of course, watch it once for the wow factor, and I watched it again. And the second time I was watching the scene, I was like, okay, how exactly is he reacting to these advances by Felicity? Because they've run hot and cold before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I was just watching him, and you could tell he's like, oh, I would be all over that. But like, we worked together. We've been down this road before. He's just like starry eyed. Like, I'm just not going to say anything, because if I say something, I'm going to get myself in trouble. And yeah, he ends up getting himself some action, I guess, which yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Releases some tension.
And that was all he needed to be able to figure out the problem.
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah,
you just get those hormones going and it clears your mind. And oh my God, I know how to solve it. How do you think Tony Stark invented so much stuff? He banged away at it. Sorry, guys, that was a terrible pun. I had to do it.
That's chris@gunnageek.com, by the way.
I'm leaving it in, too. I was about to write a note. I'm like, no, you know, that's going to stay in.
There's nothing wrong with a bad pun. I'm loosening things up a little bit.
Unless you're trying to get your podcast in China.
Yeah.
Do they even get Arrow in China?
Well, they're masters of ripping off everything that's copyrighted. So I'll bet you half the population has seen it. Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Because I was going to be like, look, it's probably not something the government's going to approve based off of what happens in this show.
Well, at least what they're talking about is Japan, right? They're not talking about China in this specific episode.
Yeah, for now. There's still another 3 years of backstory. Two and a half, I guess.
True. Okay, so who's actually attacking the trio and the kid here? Is this Waller? Is this Argus? Is this somebody else? What do you guys think?
I think it's too obvious if it's Waller. I think Shreve is responsible and he's trying to frame Waller.
I think that it could be both of them. I think it could be Shreve saying, no, they're too dangerous to let go, take them out, and Waller being like, yes, sir, sir. And
or they're just stuck in the middle of two turf wars between Shreve and Waller, maybe.
I honestly think that it's just I think Waller's still taking orders from him, and that's basically what it boils down to.
That could be.
Because I'm sorry, Shreve does not seem like the kind of stand-up guy that's actually going to send these people home, but he also doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's going to bother getting his hands dirty either.
Mark Singer gets his hands dirty.
He's the Beastmaster.
He dealt with aliens in V. Come on. Yeah, and he is the Beastmaster too. But yeah, okay, Shreve. I don't have the background with Shreve that you guys do.
He doesn't have much of a background, really, especially in the New 52.
But he's in the comics as being a higher up in the U.S. Army that deals with Argus.
He kind of leads his own little team, if I remember right, in the comics. Mm-hmm. Shreve, I don't know much about. I had to go and look up. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Shreve's played by Mark Singer. He's a soldier involved with Project M, and he's a leader of the Creature Commandos, which is an elite combat unit composed of soldiers with monster-like features. He himself, though, has no powers. He's an ordinary human. But in the New 52, the Creature Commandos are agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is an organization that competes with Argus. But he doesn't really exist, I don't think, in the New 52. Yeah, he's not in New 52. So he's kind of like a Nick Fury in the Howling Commandos type character.
So could either Argus personnel or these commandos go against Nanda Parbat as well as Diggle and Ollie did?
No way. I think part of the reason that Ollie succeeds there is Roz wants him there once he finds out he's coming.
Yeah.
They set a trap for him. I mean, I'm sure they have more than just sentries looking around out there when they see, oh, that's Oliver Queen and that's John Diggle. Now he can spring a trap.
No, yeah. At that point, it's like, hey, go throw the rookies out there and tell them it's special training or something. It's like, yeah, these guys are cannon fodder.
If they survive, that's great. If they don't, we'll get more. Who cares?
Yeah. Although I have to say that part where they're coming up to the fortress and whatnot, and Oliver just casually walking by, picking up one of the flaming arrows out of the ground and shooting it back and killing a guy, I was like, okay, that was pretty badass.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. So which is cooler, the flaming arrow throwback or the boxing glove arrow?
Flaming arrow.
Yeah. Ooh,
really?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was nice seeing the boxing glove arrow, but that was one of those moments where it's like, yep, no, all right, fan wank, there it is, it's done, and moving on. Yep.
It wasn't just the boxing glove arrow, though. It was the fact of the moves that he had to make in order to make it a boxing glove arrow.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was really cool, but this was one of those things of like, you know, he's got flaming arrows coming at him. It's not in the middle of the fight where he's improvising. It's like, he's just cool, calm, and collected. He's like, you know what, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to kill you with it.
Yeah, it's no big deal to him. He's like, oh, there's more ammunition.
Yeah, what about his bow? When he released the bow at the beginning,
it looks awesome. But every time he does it, I'm like, "Yep, nope, not physically possible."
Well, they already said it's CGI.
I know, and it just bothers me. It's like, it looks awesome, but there's no possible way to make that work. And once you did, how do you actually how would you put tension on that string? How would you actually get it to remain taut? And I don't know. It all breaks apart in my head.
It's in the script.
script magic.
Yeah.
Happens every week. Must be Wednesday, right? It's
Wednesday or Tuesday sometimes.
Yeah, Tuesday in Central City.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wednesday in Arrow. Because it's not always in Starling City. I mean,
that's true.
Could be in Lian Yu, could be Japan. You know, you never know. All right. You guys got anything else for the episode?
Yeah. The
Diggle and Ollie, man. They're bros forever. Bros for life.
They were on the inside together, man. That forges something.
Okay. Diggle and Ollie, bros forever.
Bros right. for life.
At least until the end of the season.
And Diggle dies.
Yeah. Just until Diggle bites it.
Is it going to be before or after the wedding?
He's going to die at the wedding.
Yeah, I was going to say it'll be during the wedding.
They're going to resurrect Sarah and she's going to kill him.
No, see, that's the thing is I think it's going to be, it'd have to be before because you don't want Lila getting all his, you know, pinch and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Lila looks good with shower hair, by the way.
I cannot argue that point.
No, I'm not going to argue with that.
But, all right,
go ahead.
I was going to say, so what about the flashbacks? We haven't talked about the flashbacks at all, or barely.
But. There's not much that goes on. I mean, Ollie finishes his debrief, and then himself and Maseo's family get attacked on the docks, and yeah. Ollie's got the kid.
So, all right, we know that Tatsu and
Maseo
both make it, and we have not seen the kid in modern day. We know that something happened to drive these two apart, but Oliver has the kid. And yet, both Maseo and Tatsu blame themselves for what happened. So, how
There's
do we
more
think?
More to come, obviously, but
yeah, I'm wondering how this is all going to play out.
We got what 8 more episodes? Because it's episode 15, yeah. And they do what 23. So we got 8 more episodes. There's a lot that can happen in 8 episodes.
That's true. I honestly thought the kid was going to bite it in this episode for a few when they were trying to run between cover and the truck. Mm-hmm. I thought the kid was going to try and run out on his own and Ollie wouldn't be able to stop him and he'd just get hit. And I was like, oh no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, no, this show's dark, but it's not that dark.
Well, and then I thought when Ollie picked him up and started moving around, I'm like, you're out of cover. The kid's going to get hit. Don't do it. Don't do it. I had a bad, bad feeling about this.
So how many episodes do we think it's going to be? Because they have to do it. They have to show what's happening before the end of the season. Because you have to have one or two episodes to let it breathe and resolve the whole situation. So
Four episodes from now.
Episode 19?
Yep.
Yeah, 19, 20, that sounds about right. Let's
go with the season 2 model. Around 1920 last season, everything hit the fan.
Okay, so we're talking about the possibility of Diggle dying, the kid dying, and we have also brought up the possibility of Quentin biting the bullet.
I hope it's Laurel that bites the bullet. Sorry, guys. I just have to play my role here.
Uh-huh, right.
I'm not arguing with you.
Laurel is.
I don't know. Seeing her in her canary outfit without the mask and wig on, though, it's like every time they do that, I'm like, yeah, no, just like this. Just start sending her out like this. Send her to her job like this. I'll be okay.
Okay. Well, I'll admit, last year was really tough to deal with Laurel. We talked about it before, the whole alcoholism thing and the whole loss thing, whatever. She wasn't utilized well at all last year whatsoever. And she has come a long way since then. And I think it's taken the full season for her to get back to a point where she can be an awesome asset. And don't forget, they have at least a 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what awesomeness she's going to do next year or even the year after. So just keep that in the back of your mind. I know.
If it happens, I will gladly accept it. I don't see it happening. But
of her becoming awesome?
Not to the point that I'm going to be content with.
Well, okay.
I don't know. It's like you guys mentioned last week, though, that every character has to have their crucible moment. You know, like Thea's going through hers right now, and Oliver went through his, obviously. Last year, I think, was supposed to be Laurel's. It just didn't seem like...
I think she's still going through it.
Yeah, I mean, the death of Sarah definitely kind of was the climax of it all, but it was just one of those things where it's like, I think that's what they were trying to do with it, was they were trying to give her tough things to go through and difficulties to face. And instead of coming out on the other side being like, no, I've beaten this, I'm better. It always came off like, I'm whining because I'm a little bitch.
Well, I mean, the whole thing with Quentin, that is still yet resolving itself. And we didn't see Quentin this week. So we can't bring that to conclusion right now.
Yeah.
I think once that is done, we are then done and we can move on. Although this whole avenging Sarah's death thing that's still going to go on because Laurel's going to keep blaming Malcolm. Mm. Thea's set herself up to Nyssa as the assassin. It's going to be a couple more episodes, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So going back to the kid, the Tatsu and Maseo's. Yeah, Akito. Adam brought up in chat, do you think Waller or China White will be the one to kill the kid? That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you might as well throw General Shreve in there, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing is that I had my theory, and then like everything that's happened since then has kind of destroyed it and made it all seem moot. I don't know. I'd need to see like at least one or two more episodes to really get a feel for how it's going to play out.
China White has been used so effectively this season, but she hasn't been brought out like in every episode. Like this would have been a great episode to have.
Well, it's because they stopped her last week. They stopped the whole buy and they, you know, they went and punched her and knocked her out. And I think she's actually like in prison now or something.
Huh?
So, I mean, granted, it's probably Waller that has her. So it'll be like, oh, hey, I need something done and you make the most sense. So yeah, I'm just going to let you go and I'll clean up your mess later. You know, so. She will get back out, obviously, but I think right now they're done with her for the flashbacks, at least.
It's not going to be her responsible for death of the kid, I don't think, because Maseo, we're going to think, joins the League because of what happens to his son. If that's the case, the League and Maseo would have no problem getting to China White.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a little more difficult to get to Waller, because my guess is when this wraps up, that's when she's going to elevate herself into being the head of Argus, basically. This is what that's building up towards. And when she's in that position of power, she's much harder to get to.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Waller. I think that Waller is going to want to basically clean up the mess after everything that happens, and unfortunately, the child's the only one that she manages. Or it turns out that he's not actually dead.
Well, that could be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this I'll say about Argus, though. They have awesome tech, right? The club, Verdant, has to be like just a locked up prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's that prison in San Francisco on the Bay?
The Rock. Alcatraz.
It's just a regular Alcatraz, right? Nothing's going to get in or out, right? Well, if that's the case, Argus tech really, really worked a number on Leanne Yu last week, too, right?
Yeah. Because
you had 8 Argus techs that retrofitted that prison, but only 3 that retrofitted Verdant. So, just saying, something's going to go wrong.
They don't want it to be too secure.
It's so Mission Impossible, though.
Yeah.
What was that, the Thomas Crown Affair, where the woman was bending over and everything to get through the things?
No, Entrapment.
Lilies? Entrapment, that's what it was? Okay.
Yeah.
So, somebody's going to be whipping around the Verdant, pulling some dance moves, getting across the lasers. Come on.
That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Not really, because they can't choreograph anything like that.
Yeah, we haven't really seen, as I pointed out, Verdant has not seen too many parties.
No, it's mostly just everyone standing around, you know, milling about, and then
stocked bar.
And then when they put on one cool song, everybody instantaneously jumps to the dance floor like, oh wait, this is my jam. And then we don't see anybody else in the club for the rest of the season.
We brought up the armor before, and this is the first time we've seen the complete suit on Ray Palmer. Looks exactly like an Iron Man suit. It behaves like an Iron Man suit with all the gears and everything folding around.
I wouldn't say it looks exactly like an Iron Man suit. There's a lot more spandex going on here.
But it's cool. They're doing it on a TV budget, too, so yeah. I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was pretty sweet, but it was one of those moments of, like, I've seen this before.
In 4 movies.
Not in DC, though. You've seen it in Marvel, but not in DC.
Okay, let me rephrase that. I've seen this done better before.
So could Brandon Routh actually apply for the Iron Man gig once RDJ steps down?
I don't see him as Iron Man.
Yeah.
I still have a hard time seeing him as Ray Palmer. I still think Superman every time I see him. And that's not because he's doing bad as Ray Palmer. It's just because he was good as Superman.
He was. He was. I'm enjoying the character that he's playing, but I don't see that being Tony Stark. He's not a big enough douche, basically.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Let's see. What else do we have about this one? Sorry, my iPad shut off again.
I've been through a bunch of my notes already.
Yeah. So Felicity's going back to her misspeaking a lot.
You know, that's great.
I'm taking you straight to bed. Pudding! Putting you straight to bed. Why did I say that?
Yeah, it was great actually seeing her in the flashback episode, right? Where she started stumbling, like season one Felicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if they lost that part of her or if it just wasn't the right episodes, the right writing, but it was great to see that back. This is the Felicity that I like.
Well, it's because she was around somebody that she actually liked. She doesn't like Oliver anymore. She almost hates him at this point. So, yeah, she has no reason to stumble over her words now. She knows exactly how to tell him off. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, with Ray, she's hitting that point where she's really starting to like him, you know.
Although, if somebody's flying a suit of armor around my building, I'm going to wake up. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was pretty loud.
A little bit. But granted, we don't know how well she had been put to sleep. So
it doesn't matter if you've got a jet engine going on right next door, flying around subsonic, it's going to wake you up.
I don't know. There have been times where afterwards, you could drive a bulldozer through my house and I'd sleep through it because if it's good enough, you're going to sleep.
All right. So you're saying that Mr. Palmer's good enough, huh?
Apparently so. He got Felicity, didn't he? Apparently
yeah, he did.
He knows what he's doing.
Did Oliver actually ever get together, hook up?
He never got there.
He kissed her. That was it.
So this was three and a half.
I stole your company. I stole your girl.
Go bye-bye. All right.
So are we ready for the checklist?
I think we're to the checklist.
To the checklist.
What do we got?
Well, let's start off first. Ollie is basically Batman in this case. If you've seen any of the Batman the Animated Series episodes or read some of the Batman classic comics where Ra's wants Batman, the detective, to be his successor leading the league, that's basically the role Ollie's found himself in.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we heard Ra's offer the position to Batman? And
well, to be fair, though, he's offered it to other people. At one point in time, Bane was offered the chance to lead the League of Assassins in the comics. Or the League of Shadows, I guess, if you want to do comics terminology.
And this next item on the checklist, I actually had in my notes, is Ra's in the Lazarus pit to start the show. And I just originally thought it was a jacuzzi in the first watch. In the second watch, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That could actually be a pit. So I don't know what one's supposed to look like or anything.
I think they want us to think it is, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that as soon as I saw it, that's what I was thinking. I mean, Wing said before that, you know, they have a Lazarus pit set. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, is that it? I can see this being the Lazarus pit thing and them going with the, you know, him just soaking in it, Fountain of Youth kind of thing instead of the submersion of the dead body thing. And so I think that it very easily could be. They could go either way with it because they never said anything explicitly one way or the other. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know if it'll come up again or not, but if it does, we'll know for sure. We'll see. And then also got a little note about Batman Arkham City in here.
Yeah, so I saw this one when I was reading around. The pose that Nyssa's in when she's sitting in the jail cell in the bottom of the Verdant, in the Arrow Cave, I guess. She's sitting there. She's posed.
The quiver. Call it right, sir. It's the quiver.
I'll call it what I want.
Yeah,
and if you
you'll be wrong ahead. If you don't call it the quiver.
And no, in sorry. Arkham City, when you're going through Penguin's museum, he's actually trapped one of the League of Shadows ninjas, and she's sitting in a little cage because he puts all the display people in display cases because he's sadistic like that. But she's sitting there in this pose, and when they show Nyssa, it is the exact same pose. So apparently that's how you're supposed to sit if you're in the league.
It's a meditation stance.
Yeah, but it was kind of, I actually noticed that. I was like, that looks really familiar. And then as soon as I saw it in the notes, I'm like, that's why, because that's, yeah, it's a thing.
Word. Right.
Do we have anything else for the checklist this week, guys?
I mean, aside from the entire episode, but no.
The entire episode is paying homage to Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very Batman-esque episode.
It was well done, I thought. It's just my thoughts. So we had a couple of important news articles come up this week, and we don't typically talk a lot of news, but we just want to talk about these quickly. The first being, we've heard a lot about potential spinoffs for both Flash and Arrow in the past, and their Deadline came up with this article earlier this week that actually named four of the actors on both shows, Flash and Arrow, which are being considered for a spinoff. And you've got the Atom, you've got, what's his name, Cold?
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold, and you've got Firestorm, and this one, it's got my head scratching, and it's really why I'm bringing it up. The original canary. So we're talking Sarah. We're not talking about Laurel here.
Katie Lutz, I think is how you say it.
Katie Lutz.
Yeah. What's up with that?
For Katie Lutz, I imagine it's going to be, you know, her time with the league or something. It's going to be a previously show instead of current, unless they wind up bringing her back. I mean, I could see them. Yeah. They doing the whole Lazarus Pit thing, bringing her back and then, you know, giving her own spinoff series to run concurrently.
It could be a weird prequel of some kind, because Adam brought up a good point in the chat room. He says it's only one half of Firestorm that's confirmed. It's only Victor Garber, whose name has been mentioned, not Robbie Amell.
That would definitely be interesting. Oh, that would, of course, that would be a prequel then, because we would learn all about how he came up with the Firestorm project, the technology, and stuff like that. Oh, all right.
At this point, I'm just... I don't know. I don't know if any of these characters would be able to carry their own series. You know, because you've got, you know, they've done an amazing job with Green Arrow, who, you know, up until recently was always just a supporting character, didn't even have his own, you know, comic series. You know, he was always just a periphery of the Justice League. And then they've turned him into a major hero. You know, and then you've got Flash, who, you know, obviously is one of the majors. So I don't know if you're going to be able to take someone like the Atom and turn them into a character that people are going to watch week after week.
Well, sure you do. You turn him into Iron Man.
Right.
That was a cheap shot. I apologize.
You put a big old S on the front of his suit and give him a cape and get rid of the helmet. And yeah.
That's another series coming soon.
Right.
I don't know if any of these characters would be enough to, if they were all together, maybe, but I don't know.
One of the interesting theories I heard is, because Adam made me think about this, he said I'd rather see Captain Cold as a regular on Flash instead of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, if you remember in the Flashpoint universe in the comics, when everything gets mixed up because of Barry going back in time to stop his mother from getting killed,
mm-hmm. He's Citizen
what happens Cold. In that, they create the Flashpoint universe, which is kind of a twisted reality. And in that world, Captain Cold's a hero.
Yeah, he's Citizen Cold at that point.
Yeah, he's Citizen Cold. So I'm wondering if maybe this is some kind of Flashpoint-esque universe, or maybe something's going to happen in the Flash that then sort of changes the universe around it.
Wow.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I know sci-fi is kind of delving into that right now with 12 Monkeys, and they're talking about the simultaneously universes that happen when stuff either does or does not happen. To get you from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in one series, so you're not getting a whole separate universe on its side. And TV shows have done it before, too, but I don't think any of them have carved out a supporting series to go along with it.
You know what? The main problem I would have with a Flashpoint-style TV show is the fact that you would lose out on the thing that is the biggest draw for me, and that's the Batman story. Because I love that idea of the you know, twisted Batman story where Bruce is the one that dies. Because that would be great.
Flashpoint Batman is really good, and they wouldn't be able to do it here.
Yeah.
Well, if they could, if they end up Gotham with Brucey getting killed.
Well, no, because in the Flashpoint universe, the way that it works is that the night that Bruce's parents are shot, instead of them dying, Bruce is the one that gets shot, and then Thomas basically takes on the aspect of Batman, goes off on a you know, justice vengeance kick or whatever, and his mom Martha is the, you know, goes insane at that point and becomes the Joker.
Wow. So
yeah, it's a very interesting story, and it one that I would love to see played out on screen, but you know, we're not going to see it, obviously.
Yeah, the best part about Flashpoint was Batman, and it's mm-hmm. a great story. And if you've seen the Flashpoint animated movie, it doesn't go deep enough into what happened in those Batman books.
Yeah.
Well, then also we got a secondary story about CBS Supergirl casting, which is very interesting, especially on the heels of Marvel's Agent Carter series that just wrapped up, or event, or whatever you want. This would be a female-led superhero show, and the casting that has been coming out of this is very intriguing.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you guys hadn't heard, they've announced that Dean Cain and Helen Slater will have roles in this movie, but they're keeping TV show, but they're keeping them secret. How cool is that?
Right. And Helen Slater actually being in the 1984 movie Supergirl. I mean,
yeah.
And she was also in Smallville as a Supergirl Kara Zor-El's mother.
Yeah, so she's got some chops there in the DC universe, which is really interesting. And what I'm wondering if they're going to bring her back in one of her previous roles or if it's going to be new. I just don't know.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because most of the casting announcements that have come out have been a very, like, it's like, wow, that's, I wouldn't have considered that. That's kind of interesting. And it's a lot of things that just make you, you know, consider what's going on. But
I think they'll be the Kryptonian parents, do similar to what they did with John Wesley's ship on the Flash, bring the old Flash back and make him a parent.
Well, I thought they'd already cast Kara's mom, though. I thought someone
I don't
else.
Know if they've cast human parents. The parents that her in was my understanding, but I don't think they've cast her Kryptonian parents.
Okay, yeah, so, I may have read that wrong then.
Yeah, there's Laura Bennett. Asking me to pronounce a name is just, it's never good, but Laura Benanti, Chyler Lay, David Harwood, Calista Flockhart, and...
Calista Flockhart's in this show?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Mm-hmm. Their roles have not been announced, but they are all involved in this. So,
according to Adam, I misspoke. Helen Slater was Kara L's mom, not Kara's, in the show. But she did also say, Adam also said Dean Cain. I forgot about this. He was in Smallville, where he was basically Vandal Savage. And I completely forgot about that episode.
And Calista Flockhart is going to be Cat Grant.
Could be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think out of these series, I think, of course, Flash was heavily anticipated, but a lot of people are looking towards the Supergirl series as being, okay, DC, this is your chance. What are you going to do with it? So it's not going to be a mid-season replacement, right? It's going to be a fall show.
That's my understanding. Yeah. It'd be a fall.
So we're still months and months away, but I'm sure more cast news will come out and stuff like that as we move forward to maybe a pilot release during San Diego Comic-Con. Because isn't that what they did with The Flash last year? They had a pilot that was leaked, really, and then they showed it at Comic-Con.
Yep.
Yeah. Leaked.
Yeah, quote unquote, leaked. So, yeah, looking forward to all that. Hey, guys, I got a voicemail for this week. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Hey, guys, it's Adam. Just calling with some feedback on the latest episode. Is it wrong that my first reaction when it faded to black at the end was, oh, there's a big one for the bat checklist? Beyond that, Thea just can't keep a secret, can she? Told everyone about that. I'm surprised they didn't have someone at the bar, some random person at the bar, just so she could tell them that she killed Sarah, too. I do love that Felicity intentionally gave it a really bad password, thinking that Ray wouldn't even think to try that since she was the one who said it. And the armor looked pretty good. Oh, yeah. Plus, when Ray was doing his work in his workshop, he was wearing a very Clark Kent shirt. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Since Thea probably doesn't own a car anymore, she's taking the bus, tells the person next to her on the bus that she killed Sarah and stuff like that.
Look, if the bar was actually open, she might have told more people. But the bar has been closed since Rick pretty much ran through the...
Right, and you know, she could have teamed up with Chase and gotten on the DJ microphone in the middle of everything.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's great. And then the shirt thing with Ray, not as good as The Flash and Big Bang Theory, by the way, but yeah, still pretty good. Still meta.
Yeah. Although I did just take it as, you know, he's wearing more reds and blues, which, you know, that's the theme. So, but yeah, now that I heard that, yeah, it's like, yeah, I can see Clark Kent wearing that.
Wait till we see him in glasses in a suit.
It's gotta be an ill-fitting suit though.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to next week. We'll see what Oliver tells Ra's al Ghul. Yeah. And we'll see what Oliver tells him and see if Diggle actually makes it through or not.
Don't kill Diggle.
Hashtag save Diggle.
If you kill Diggle, we riot.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's probably not going to happen. This is not like Walking Dead. Sorry. All right. Well, next week is episode 16, The Offer. I think it is next week, right? We're not on a break yet?
No, we're on a two-week break, I think.
We are.
We don't come back until the day after Flash comes back. And so that's like the 15th or 16th, something like that, we're off till?
Yes, March 18th. We are off for a couple of weeks. Woohoo, vacation!
Vacation, yay! I mean, I love you guys. I'm going to miss you.
But we'll be back in mid-March talking about the next episode, The Offer. In the meantime, thank you very much for everybody that stopped by our Mixlr chat. We really appreciate you guys stopping in, talking to us, especially Adam, which, by the way, if you want to hear an awesome podcast with Adam on, go check out The Crimson Comet. This week was an episode, I believe it was episode 16. I could be wrong about that. Anyway, he was on there with Jay, too.
Yeah, I was kidnapped.
I think you were there voluntarily, which it was a good episode. I liked it. So you can listen to Adam on there and listen to all of his great comments, as well as Jay's somewhat, you know,
less coherent. Yeah. I had been drinking. Expect.
You can also go to our website, find all of our contact information in the top right hand corner. It's on the GunnaGeek.com website. You go to the Starling Tribune page. You can find all the great ways to get a hold of us. Or, like Adam does, you can call us on our voicemail line, 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. And I think that's about it for this week. So do you have any last words at Scope Hound?
I'm going to go with interview.
At Roundtable Nerds.
Successor.
And I'm going to go with password. This has been
the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gungeek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gungeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin McLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the properties of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
Fifty Shades of Diggle going on at the end when they're all chained up.
He is wound up tonight.
You just had to go there, didn't you?
What? You saw the movie. You said it was good.
I never saw the movie.
That's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. That's a lie.
If you're talking about 50 Shades of Grey, I have not seen it.
I didn't set you up, SP. Be quiet.
You do realize I edit the podcast. I can just cut this whole section out, right?
Well, Adam thinks you watched. He's in the chat room and said, oh my, after that happened.
Okay.
No, in all seriousness, you should probably edit that out.
I am SP, and with me is Chris.
Oh, sorry, my browser closed.
It wasn't me! It wasn't me! It wasn't me!
I had my quote pulled up, and then the browser tab closed. I was like, oh, crap!